Meet Gail. The character is fictional. The experience is shared by people across West Midlands today. This is their story. Healthcare training in constituencies across the region sits blocked while wards struggle with shortages and willing candidates are turned away from programmes that could connect them to the work. The system produces the contradiction it claims to solve. Empty training centres alongside unfilled nursing posts, qualified instructors alongside rejected applications. Gail has watched this machinery of refusal operate for 5 years. This is what she learned.
I grew up in Bedworth, watching my mum come home exhausted from her shifts as a care assistant at the residential home on Bulkington Road. She'd sit at our kitchen table, still in her uniform, rubbing her feet and telling me about Mrs. Henderson, who needed someone to listen, or Mr. Patel, who just wanted his daughter to visit. Mum never complained, but I could see how much she cared and how hard the work was. Dad worked at the Peugeot factory until it closed in 2006, and after that he never found anything steady again. I knew from watching both of them that helping people was what mattered, and the NHS felt like the place where that help could make the biggest difference. After my A-levels, I started as a healthcare assistant at George Eliot Hospital, working nights and weekends while I saved up for proper nursing training. I'd walk my rescue greyhound Monty along the canal towpath every morning after my shift, watching the sun come up over the water, thinking about the patients I'd helped during the night and planning my future as a qualified nurse. In 2019, I applied to University Hospitals Coventry and Warwickshire NHS Trust for their nursing apprenticeship programme. It seemed perfect. Earn while you learn, get proper mentorship, graduate straight into a job where you were already part of the team. I'd done my research, written a strong application, even volunteered extra shifts to show my commitment. When the rejection letter came, it was polite but clear. The programme is oversubscribed due to funding constraints from Health Education England. We encourage you to reapply next year. I thought, fair enough. There must be more applicants than places. That happens. So I tried a different route. I enrolled at Warwickshire College for an access course that would get me the qualifications for university nursing instead. Spent a year studying biology, chemistry, and care principles while still working at the hospital. Passed with distinction in 2020. Applied to Coventry University's nursing degree for 2021 entry. Got accepted. Felt like everything was finally falling into place. But when I went to enrolment, the Financial Services Office delivered another blow. Your NHS bursary application has been rejected because Treasury spending limits mean we can only fund half the places we used to. You'll need to take out student loans to cover tuition and living costs. Student loans for nursing. It felt wrong, but what choice did I have? I signed the papers, started the course, threw myself into the work. The theory was fascinating, the practical placements were exactly what I'd hoped for. But here's what they don't tell you about nursing degrees. The placements are unpaid and they're not optional. You're working full-time on a ward, providing real care to real patients, but you can't earn anything while you're doing it because it's part of your education. I lasted 18 months before the maths became impossible. Rent, course materials, travel to placements, food. The loan covered tuition but not living costs. I'd used up my savings from the healthcare assistant job. Couldn't work enough hours around placement schedules to pay the bills. Had to drop out halfway through second year, watching 3 years of planning dissolve into a pile of debt with no qualification to show for it. In 2023, I tried one more approach. Applied for a nursing associate role at George Eliot Hospital, a 2-year programme that would give me a foundation degree and a clear path to full nursing qualification. This time I spoke directly to the workforce planning team. The conversation is burned into my memory. "We'd love to take you," the coordinator told me. "Your experience as a healthcare assistant is exactly what we need, and your academic record from the access course shows you can handle the theory side. But NHS England's budget allocation doesn't stretch to new training contracts this year. There is no funding. There is no funding." I heard those words so many times they started to sound like natural law, like gravity or weather. Something beyond anyone's control. But last month, walking past the old Health Education England Training Centre in Coventry, something clicked that didn't fit. The building was huge, modern, clearly designed for exactly the kind of training I'd been trying to access. 40 empty parking spaces stretched across the forecourt. A security guard was doing his rounds, and when I asked what had happened to the place, he shrugged and said, "Mothballed since 2022, even though we get calls every week from people wanting to train. Waste of a good facility, if you ask me." I stood there looking at this building that used to train nurses, now sitting empty while people like me were told there was nowhere to train us. The resources existed. The building existed. I existed. Other people who wanted exactly this training existed. The patients who needed us existed. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that issues the pound sterling, that prints the notes and mints the coins, was telling me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work in the jobs that were sitting right there, vacant. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The Treasury that controls government spending chose not to spend the pounds that would connect trained nurses to understaffed wards. That's not an accounting problem. That's a political decision dressed up as financial necessity. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the training facilities were available, whether the jobs needed doing. They were. All of them. I could see them with my own eyes. The excuse wasn't a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. The same logic as saying your household can't afford something, except households don't issue their own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it on the people and the places that needed it. Now I understand this isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare, the cupboard belongs to the people who stock it.
What Gail experienced has a name: fake experts. When someone needs to defend a questionable position, they often cite authorities who seem credible but are actually repeating the same unfounded assumptions. It's like tobacco companies in the 1960s funding scientists who would testify that smoking was safe, then pointing to those same scientists as proof. The titles made them sound authoritative, but the conclusions were predetermined. In healthcare spending debates, fake experts cite economists who treat the government budget like a household budget, as though repeating this analogy makes it true. Every time Gail was told there is no funding, someone was applying household logic to a currency issuer. These experts ignore the fundamental difference. Households must earn pounds before they spend them, but the UK government creates pounds when it spends them. The specific objection Gail faced was that economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The real constraint in Gail's case was never financial. The UK government issues its own currency and does not need to find pounds before spending them. The constraint was resources. People, skills, facilities, time. And in Nuneaton, those resources were sitting idle. The empty training centre, the willing candidates, the vacant nursing posts, the qualified instructors. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Nuneaton ranks 181 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in decile 4. The constituency has 2,104 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £16.1 million, according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.